With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
For the nearly 29 years that I've been a part of the congregation here at Emmanuel, Sunday school has been a major emphasis of our church. A Sunday school has been the organizational tool that God has used to strengthen, to build, and to grow the fellowship here at Emmanuel. We have seen God do tremendous things, specifically starting with the leadership of my predecessor, Dr. Don Hadaway, in bringing this emphasis to the life and ministry of our church. I'm grateful for all those men who come before me and those who came before him, but it's in these last 35, 36 years total that we have really seen the Lord do a tremendous work here at 217 West Carter Avenue. And we're going to see the next step, another chapter, I believe, turning another page 7 days from now as we reorganize our adult couples Sunday school classes. We're also going to be adding a brand new college and career Sunday school. I'm so thankful for Brandon Carlson, his wonderful leadership of our college career Sunday school class that's been meeting at 9:15. But up until today, we've only had one option for those in that age group to go to a college and career Sunday school class. So for those of you here tonight that would fall into that group, you no longer have to go to Sunday school at 9:15, come to the 10:30 service. You can come, perhaps even with your extended family, to the 9 o'clock service. And next Sunday morning, Brother Jared Johnson, our associate pastor, is going to begin leadership of the college and career Sunday school class that will be meeting at 10:30 in the same place. And I really believe that God is going to do some tremendous things through that expansion. With that, we're adding actually 6 Sunday school classes starting next Sunday, and every one of our adult couple Sunday school classes is going to be reorganized in one way or another. Tonight, I really want to take the Word of God and from the heart of your pastor share why we are doing this, how we're going to be doing it, and why we're doing it now. I've pastored and led long enough to know that many times if people are uncomfortable, they're uncomfortable because you told them what we're going to be doing but didn't take the time to explain why you're going to be doing it or how you're going to be doing it. So tonight is our plan to answer some of those questions. Now, if you've been at Emmanuel any length of time, you've heard this statement before. It's a statement you see on the screen. It's from the teaching ministry of Dr. Ken Hemphill, a former president of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. And he wrote a classic book on Sunday school some years ago called Revitalizing the Sunday Morning Dinosaur. Dr. Hemphill rightly states that Sunday school is not an organization of the church. Sunday school is the church organized to fulfill the Great Commission. Right before his ascension, Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, and through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, he's given that same commission to us. That we're to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded us. And we do so with the promise that if we're doing that, he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Sunday school, the way that we organize it here at our church, is the perfect group already in place to help us fulfill the Great Commission. There are other ministries that do excellent jobs at some aspects of the Great Commission, going, reaching, baptizing, discipling, or teaching. But Sunday school, as well as any organizational ministry that I've ever known, allows us to comprehensively fulfill the Great Commission. And for just a few minutes, I want to show you why you can be involved in helping your Sunday school class not just reach the world, but reach your world with the good news of Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want you to notice in this passage is that in Sunday school, the Scriptures are explained. You see, we want to take the Word of God on a regular basis. We want to educate a good Bible word. We want to disciple people in the truth of the Word of God. In fact, I don't apologize for saying that we want to indoctrinate the people who step onto our campus and into our classes. Long before I ever came on your staff or long before I ever became your pastor, Emmanuel was known in the grapevine of the community to be a cult. It has even been said that you have to bring your W-2 and present it in order to be a member of our church. That's one of those occasions where I want to ask again, is everybody in your family crazy or is it just you? Of course we don't do things like that, but we do not make an apology that we want to indoctrinate every person that will come under the tutelage of this church. That simply means we want to pour sound doctrine into the lives of our children. We want to pour sound doctrine into our college students and our young single adults. God knows that young married couples need sound doctrine. Heaven knows that middle-aged folks need sound doctrine. And you're never going to live long enough, breathe long enough, you're never going to be old enough that you have outgrown the need to be bathed in the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible says that the New Testament church, after they had been flogged, after they had been beaten, they came back together in verse 31 and they prayed together. The power of the Holy Ghost shook the place. Wouldn't it be good if you gathered next Sunday morning in a new Sunday school class, prayed together, and the power of Almighty God began to shake the place? And the scripture says in verse 31, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that didn't lead them to dance. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that didn't lead them to do a lot of things. I'll tell you what it led them to do. Speak the Word of God with boldness. Earlier in the book of Acts, chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost, the scripture says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Paul would later write to Timothy and say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, that is, properly handling, accurately teaching the word of truth. So we are to come together on a regular basis to study the Word of God. Could I be talking to someone even on a Sunday night that you're a regular member and attender of this church, but you don't go to Sunday school? Could I ask you to just pray a prayer? I'm not here to fuss at you. I'm not here to gripe with you. I want to encourage you, pray a prayer like this. Lord, the church where I've pledged my loyalty, the church where I've placed my membership, the church where on some occasion I walked forward, took the preacher by the hand and stood before the congregation and said, that's my preacher. This is my church. These are my brothers and sisters. I'm going to serve Jesus through this church. And next Sunday morning, they've got a class designed just for me and for the members of my family. They've been talking about the attributes of God. They're going to be focusing on the doctrine of creation. And Lord, I just want to know, next Sunday, do you want me to show up? The reason you laugh is you already know the answer to that prayer. You may as well pray, would it be the will of God for you to run around on your husband? You may as well pray, is it the will of God for you to rob a bank to pay your bills, as to ask God, would it be your will for me to attend the services and functions of my own congregation? Especially knowing that when you come, the scriptures are going to be explained. Words that will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Words that should be your delight and your counselor. Words that if you hide them in your heart, you won't sin against God. Words that you will find will be sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Words of the living God. The songwriter called them beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. And the scriptures are going to be explained, exegeted, and expounded in the confines of your Sunday school class. Now, for that to happen, there are three things that we must have. I'm just going to be very practical tonight. The first thing you've got to have is a leader. I'm talking about a Sunday school teacher who will take responsibility and accountability for shepherding that class. Could I do something here real quick? If you are a Sunday school teacher or even an assistant or a substitute teacher in Sunday school, would you mind standing for just a moment? All of our Sunday school teachers, would you stand for just a moment? I want you to know, church family, standing before you are men and women on the front lines of ministry in this church. We often talk about preaching to the choir, because the choir is often some of the most visible leaders in the church, and we thank God for that. But tonight I'm looking at some men and women, some young men and women that are standing up. You are the backbone of the ministry of this church. Thank you for taking a leadership role and for being used by God to position this church to fulfill the great commission of our Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you as you take your seat. You've got to have a leader. Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says that teaching is a spiritual gift. That is, some of those who have been birthed into the family of God, hallelujah, born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel, many of those who have been born again have been gifted by the Holy Spirit with the gift of teaching. And might I say, by way of application, I'd rather have a God-called, Spirit-anointed teacher with a third-grade education than to have somebody with a PhD in theology who did not teach in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next Sunday morning, I'm thankful for six new leaders that are stepping forward and saying, Pastor, I'll hold this part of the rope. I'll extend this part of the mission. As for me and my place of ministry, count on me. I'm going to be studied. I'm going to be prepared. And I'm going to do my best to help shepherd this part of the Emmanuel congregation. You've got to have a leader. The second thing you have to have is a lesson. For they didn't show up in Acts 4:31. They didn't show up and speak their opinion with boldness. God knows we've got Facebook for that. They didn't show up and give their own philosophy with boldness. What did they show up and begin to teach? They began to speak the Word of God with boldness. So you've got to have some prepared lesson to teach the people of God. In our congregation and in our context, we use a prepared curriculum. For us, it's the Answers curriculum from Answers in Genesis. But I make no apology in saying that the AIG book is not the lesson. The Bible is the lesson. So let me take just a moment and explain why we use what is commonly called a quarterly, although if my math is correct, Brother Austin, our books are 10 weeks each, and so it's not technically a quarterly, but you've got your Sunday school book. Why do we use that and not just have classes where we say, Brother so-and-so, would you teach that class, and just teach whatever it is that you want to teach? By the way, that is a recipe for doctrinal chaos and confusion. Amen. To give people a room, give them a Bible, give them some leadership, and say, take them down the hall and teach them whatever you want to teach. We use a prepared lesson, a prepared curriculum, for several practical reasons. For one thing, it promotes preparation and in-home Bible study. I hope and I pray that we are continually being and continually becoming the kind of church where young daddies and young mamas can look at each other and ask, how are your children understanding the Sunday school lesson we're going to be doing this Sunday? Because there's the expectation that we gather together with our sons and our daughters and we prepare ourselves for that Sunday school lesson. My desire is that what we do here on Sunday is the exclamation point at the end of a sentence that you've been writing in the heart of your family, in the heart of your children all week long. The curriculum, the use of a prepared lesson, also helps ensure doctrinal integrity. You're not going to get very far away from the truth of the Bible in just 45 minutes or so when we all start at the same place each and every week. Yeah. Using a prepared curriculum aids in teacher preparation. It also helps to promote a broad look of theology from the Bible, that we don't have our pet doctrines, not our hobby horses. There are some churches that every time you go to that Sunday school class, they're always in the book of Daniel, always in the book of Ezekiel, always in the book of the Revelation, because that teacher has a heart to teach prophecy, which is a wonderful thing. But there's more in the Bible than just eschatology, more than just prophecy. And so using a guided curriculum helps us to teach and preach what the Scripture calls the whole counsel of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all Scripture is God-breathed, that it is given by inspiration, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we need a leader. We need a lesson. Thirdly, we need a learner. The Bible says they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Verse 32, and the congregation of those who believed. You know how they believed? They heard. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This is a reminder to our Sunday school teachers, those of you who so faithfully stood a moment ago. The goal of the Sunday school class, listen carefully, is not merely to teach the Bible. The goal of the Sunday school class from an educational perspective is to teach people the Bible. The best lesson communicated to a bunch of empty seats that don't burden our soul and grip our heart. The best lesson taught to empty seats will have no kingdom significance. On the flip side of that, if God has called some to teach, it just makes sense. He's called some others to learn. And you can't have teaching if you don't have learners. And you can't learn if you don't hear, and you won't hear if you don't come. Now, when I think about being a learner, the pastor in me wants to make this passing comment. And I can say with heaven as my witness, I've not heard a single complaint. I've not had anybody come up to me with a single criticism about this upcoming organizational change. So if this rock hits you, you the dog that got hit. It may be sometimes in an organizational restructure at your church that God may be trying to teach you something besides just the lesson. He may be trying to teach you a spirit of cooperation. He may be trying to teach you a spirit of submission. He may be trying to teach you a spirit of selflessness. He might be trying to teach you a spirit of forgiveness. There have been occasions in the life of even what I think is the greatest church in America that someone might say, I'm not going to my new assigned class because I'm not going to sit in there with him. I'm not going to go in there with her. Do you hear in that God might be trying to teach you something other than the doctrine of creation? He may be trying to teach you that we need to be like these folks in verse 32, that all of the congregation of those who believe were of one heart and of one soul. He may be trying to teach you an awful lot of things that are not explicitly written in that week's Sunday school lesson. And we are able to reach our world through the Sunday school because, number one, the scriptures are explained. Number two, sinners are evangelized. Now, there are a lot of reasons that your pastor believes in Sunday school. I believe in Sunday school as a Christian. It's been a great benefit to me for all of my life. There are other churches that call it life groups, Bible fellowship, whatever you want to call it. I just believe in small group, age-graded Bible study. I believe in it as a Christian. I believe in it as a member of this church. This approach has blessed and strengthened Emmanuel Baptist. If you've not been at Emmanuel Baptist very long, you are probably here because the strong arm of Sunday school is what reached you. I believe in Sunday school as a discipler. I believe in Sunday school as a pastor. But I believe in Sunday school as an evangelist. When Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, the ministry tool of Sunday school is one of the ways that we can do that. How does Sunday school help us reach the lost? People that are lost, hell-bound in their sin. Well, first of all, through a well-organized Sunday school, prospects are assigned. These people that believed had witnessed the resurrection. They believed in the witness of the resurrection. They had received what this passage calls great grace. They heard the gospel. Now, practically speaking, when lost people are given to our church as prospects, when they come and they are first-time guests, the question is, who's responsible for going after them? Who's responsible to help reach the seventh grade girls? Who's responsible for the 45-year-old woman married to the 47-year-old man? Have you heard that expression that everybody's job is nobody's responsibility? Prospects are assigned through an age-graded Sunday school. When that person comes and they're of that gender, they have that marital status, they're of that particular age, it's real easy to look on an organizational chart, contact that Sunday school teacher, contact that Sunday school class and say, here's someone who would be a great prospect for your class. Could you make a contact with them this week? Call them, go see them, let them know there's a Sunday school class for them. By the way, for those of you that are teachers, since we are age graded, you can generally look across the congregation, and I think you ought to be recruiting and actively inviting before and immediately after our worship services. You see an unfamiliar face? Why don't you go introduce yourself to them and tell them, you look like you'd be in my Sunday school class. Here's the place where we meet. I'm the teacher. Could I get your number? I'd like to bring you by a book. And prospects can be more easily assigned through age-graded Sunday school. But what does this have to do with evangelism and reaching the lost? I'll share with you tonight a statistic that is drawn from 25 years of ministry here at Emmanuel. It probably goes back further than that, but I know it goes back at least 25 years. Within 12 months of creation, the creation of a new Sunday school class, our classes average around 10 people per unit. When we create a new Sunday school class, if it's done effectively, if it's done rightly, not just on paper, but I mean in reality, when it's done right and done well and done biblically, within 12 months of that class's creation, our classes on the whole will average around 10 people per unit. Now, I need you to listen very carefully to this. Did you know that just like the created natural world, organizations have space and behavior that dictates maximum capacity? Let me illustrate that. You're not going to lift a grand piano on 4-pound test fish line. There's a certain capacity to that, and it won't lift anymore. If you've got an oven, you're not going to run it on a 15-amp breaker on 14-gauge wire. Not for long without burning the house down. Hey, guys, if you've ever installed a water line to your house, you can come off the pump with a 1-inch line. But if you put a 1/2-inch coupler on it, you're going to get nothing less than what a 1/2-inch pipe will do. You've created a bottleneck. You've created a restriction. And there are things that we can do poorly in Sunday school that create some of these bottlenecks, some of these restrictions. This is one reason, for example, that generally speaking, tables are not good in a Sunday school class. You can take a room that will seat 20 people. Listen, that will seat 20 souls that need to be taught the word, that need to hear the gospel. You put an 8-foot table in that room that would seat 20. You have just limited the seating capacity of that class from 20 down to 8 people. When properly maintained, a good Sunday school will average around 10 students within a year's time. That means 10 classes in a good church will run about 100. 20 classes will reach 200, 30 will reach 300, and I don't mean to bore you with the math, but you get the idea. So why are we committed to this particular approach? Well, the creation of these 6 new units next Sunday, if we do it right and do it well, and I mean if God is just pleased to bless it, and it'll all be vain if the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't come down. But those 6 new classes ought to help us reach 60 new people in the next 12 months. And that's just through that one thing alone. That's not counting personal soul winning. That's not counting people who are invited through other means. That's just that one ministry tool can help us reach 60 more people. Statistically, 30 of those 60 will admit that they're lost. Probably more than that are actually lost. But of those 60 new people, not here tonight, weren't here this morning, but a year from now they'll be here. Of those 60, on average, 30 will admit that they're lost. And during these next 12 months of ministry, half of that 15 will respond in repentance and faith. Now, I can preach evangelistic messages, but nothing will take the place of a well-organized Sunday school class doing God-honoring, God-ordained, Bible-centered outreach. The greatest year of Sunday school growth that we had in our church, I could preach on any subject. As you know, I tend to preach through books of the Bible. We just preach next passage up. And I could preach on any subject, and nearly every Sunday somebody would walk the aisle. I remember on one occasion preaching through the Gospel of Mark. I got up that Sunday, I wasn't looking forward to it because Mark's Gospel, the next verses up, was what Jesus said about divorce and remarriage, and you know that will bless a Baptist congregation. I just wasn't looking forward to preaching it, but it was there and it was to preach. That day, 9 people joined the church. 6 of them by profession of faith. You say, how'd you cram so much gospel into a sermon on divorce and remarriage? Well, I promise you, I tried to. I did my best to make that sermon about Jesus. But not a one of them had gotten saved in that service. They'd gotten saved because somebody in their Sunday school class led them to Christ on Tuesday at lunch. They had gotten saved 2 weeks before in the Sunday school class. Sunday school teacher, don't ever close your class without a gospel invitation. Don't take for granted you know everybody around that room and you know they're all saved. You don't know that. You don't know that about anybody. Nobody knows that but them and God. And when our Sunday school is operating with that evangelistic emphasis, it is a tremendous tool to evangelize the sinner because prospects are assigned that way. Secondly, people are assimilated. One of the reasons that so many of them get saved, they get assimilated into the life of the church and they begin coming on a regular basis and the hound dog of heaven begins chasing them down every time that they come. What's the likelihood that somebody comes one time and that sermon happens to be just a how to be saved kind of sermon? But if you come around here long enough, you're going to hear the gospel drum beat again and again and again and again. This is one of the reasons why we do age-graded Sunday school. Because it helps with assimilation. It's called the law of homogeneity. Namely, that the gospel travels fastest and easiest when it flows through homogeneous groups. College students meeting with other college students. 45 to 50-year-old couples meeting with their peer groups. People who are at the same stage of life and the lesson application can be poured into that particular stage of life. Now, every time that we offer or emphasize age-graded Sunday school, and in the couples, we do that through the age of the wife, because more wives come without their husbands than husbands come without their wives. That's just a simple reason why we do that. There's always somebody that says, I don't think we ought to have age-graded Sunday school. I think grown people ought to be able to go to whatever class they want to go to. Well, first of all, you still can. We're not the Sunday school police. But why do we emphasize age-graded Sunday school? May I ask, what other metric are you going to use? How about Bible knowledge? We'll have some Bible trivia exams, and we'll do it electronically so we can get an instant grading of it out in the lobby. A new family comes in, we hand them an iPad with 100 questions, and if you're smart enough on Bible knowledge, you go all the way down to the end of the hall. Certainly, that's not the thing that we want to use. What about affinity groups? There are churches that they have a biker's Sunday school class. Other churches have the fisherman's Sunday school class. Then there are those, we just want a class for those that coach the local high school softball team. What about affinity groups? What are you going to do, a survey with new visitors? Would you mind tell us your hobbies and your interests so we know which class to put you in? I always like to humorously ask, you think we ought to grade the classes by weight? By the way, Sunday school teacher, if you're looking across the congregation at new people that might be in your class, how do you think you're going to go greet that new woman? You're seeing her for the first time, and you say, I pastor the Big Bertha Sunday school class, and you look like you'd be a candidate. Children don't mind being age graded. Those that just started the fifth grade, they don't want to be in the fourth grade class with all those babies. But it's those of us that are a little bit older. We resist being age graded, and you know why? I'll be honest with you. I turned 55 week before last, and I don't like the thought that I now get discounted coffee at McDonald's. But time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking. Can I share with you the top 10 signs you're no longer in the young married class? Because some of you don't realize it yet. Number 10, if you ever wore parachute pants and a Panama Jack t-shirt listening to your Duran Duran cassette in your Pontiac Firebird, you are not in the young couples class. If your dream car was to have a Trans Am like Burt Reynolds drove in Smokey and the Bandit, you're not in the young married class anymore. If you even remember who shot JR, or that was ever even a question. Number 7, if you remember where you were when JFK was shot, you're not in the young married class. You can laugh and smirk, but many churches have guys who they wore plaid leisure suits and white patent leather shoes still going in the young married class. Number 6, if you've ever wanted to dance like John Travolta, ladies, if you've ever had feathered wings like Farrah Fawcett, if you even know who Farrah Fawcett was, you don't belong in the young married class. If you cried the day that Elvis died, if you ever wanted a horn like they had on the General Lee and the Dukes of Hazzard, if you're still hoping that Porter and Dolly get back together, you do not belong in the young married class. Ladies, if you ever wore leg warmers, stirrup pants, and jelly shoes, you don't belong in the young married class. Top way to know you're no longer a young married, if Ronald Reagan was the president when you got saved, you need to move on up in the organizational chart. So prospects are assigned, people are assimilated, but then planning is accomplished. I'm talking about how we can be organized to reach more people with the gospel of Christ. When we age grade the Sunday school to maximize growth and evangelism potential, it helps us as leaders in the church to know some basic things. How many rooms are we going to need? How many chairs are going to go in that room? How many teachers do we need? You know, in my 55 years now of life, well over half of that in full-time ministry, creating new Sunday school classes, and again, I'm not addressing anybody or anything other than human nature. Creating a new Sunday school class is the only example of expansion and growth that is seen as negative. You got a business owner in this room when he's opening up a new location. The whole Chamber of Commerce shows up with some gigantic scissors and a big old honking ribbon to celebrate the ribbon cutting. We congratulate him. He must be doing pretty well. You let some young couple begin to have a baby and we throw a party. We call it a baby shower. The family is growing and expanding and we celebrate. When a university opens a new school of business or a new school of agriculture, a school of education, we all get excited as alumni until the advancement office sends us a donor card. When a farmer gets 200 more acres of cultivated land, when the school system opens a new elementary school, we celebrate the wondrous growth of our community. But when a Sunday school class reaches the point that it needs to birth a new unit, sometimes the same people who can rejoice at expansion in these other realms can complain and criticize about the restructuring and the expansion of, listen, of the only issue that's going to matter for eternity. How can you reach the world from your Sunday school class? Well, you can do it because the scriptures are explained there. Sinners are evangelized there. Finally, saints are edified there. The bulk of verses 32 through 35 show the common bond of Christian fellowship, that New Testament koinonia fellowship that the early church experienced. Those who had property sold it. They brought it to the leadership of the church. And the leaders of the church distributed it to those as they had need. And you see that the saints are being built up in the most holy faith. They are ministering to one another. Three things I want to show you real quickly that happens through the Sunday school. First, membership is accomplished. By that I mean that new members to the church become assimilated into the life and ministry of the church, and membership for all practical, tangible purposes is accomplished through the ministry of the Sunday school. Can I ask, have you ever seen this happen, that maybe three or four families join a church from another church? You know, the old saying is, Baptists, we multiply by dividing. We swap a lot of sheep. And a lot of times I'll just say Fifth Baptist. Can I say Fifth Baptist and Fourth Baptist? I don't think we have a Fourth and Fifth Baptist. They're three or four families. They've been going to Fifth Baptist. And they come over here and start going to Fourth Baptist. But they already knew each other. So they sit together. They go to Sunday school together. They hang out together. They go eat together. And before long, you find out they've not actually been assimilated into the life of that new church. They're still a group within a group. And you know what you call a group within a group? A clique. Lean in close, I want to ask you. Do you know how you tell the difference between a clique? Y'all know what I mean by a clique? You know how you tell the difference in a clique and a healthy Sunday school class? You can't tell the difference at a distance. You can't tell just by looking, because at first glance, they look a lot alike. The clique and the healthy Sunday school class, they hang out together. They go out to eat together. They might even vacation together. They make day trips over to St. Simon's Island together. If you see one of them at Cerchero's, you're going to see another one at Cerchero's. You know how you tell the difference between the clique and the Sunday school class? Try to do something with the membership of that group. Ask them, would they accept somebody else assigned to the group? Or ask some that are in that group, would they mind going to be a part of another group to help replicate it? And all of a sudden, you'll find out in that moment what that group was the whole time. Can I share as your pastor? If you've been in a certain Sunday school class for years, and you say, I'm not going to another class, I don't care what they assign, because that's the best Sunday school teacher, this is the best Sunday school class I've got. If you've been in there 4 or 5 years and you hadn't grown up in Jesus any more than that, that class is not as healthy, that teacher not as good as you might think they are. Membership is accomplished. Secondly, maturity is achieved. Verse 34. And there was not a needy person among them, and all that were owners of land and house would sell them and bring the proceeds to the feet of the apostles. And I tell you, when you get a Baptist in the wallet, you've got all of him, lock, stock, and barrel. They're growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. A study that was recently quoted in the Christian Index, our Georgia Baptist paper, states that a new believer that is plugged into what is commonly called Sunday school, by whatever title you give it, a new believer plugged into Sunday school is 5 times more likely to still be active in that church 5 years later than those who are not. You've been in church long enough to know that sometimes you see people, they're in, they're out, they're off, and they're on, they're here, and then they're gone. And you look around and you wonder, what happened to the Jenkins family? What happened to the McGillicuddies? Where did the Magruders go? More times than not, they were not plugged in to a small group class like Sunday school. And our desire is that Sunday school be one of the tools, I think the primary tool, that we're trying to grow people up in the most holy faith. Someone tonight says, well, discipleship training is my passion. Good, you need to be involved in Sunday school. Because discipleship can happen through a functioning Sunday school class. You say, well, mentoring is my passion. We've got dozens of mentoring classes every Sunday morning. We call them Sunday school. You want to be involved in the lives of young men? Get involved with the Brother Andrew and say, I want to teach one of the boys Sunday school classes. Ma'am, you want to pour your life into women? Then get with Brother Austin and say, I want to take the next women's Sunday school class that is available. Might I say very simply, if we don't use the Sunday school to do these kinds of things, we'll have to erect another organization to come parallel alongside of it to try to do the same thing that Sunday school would have done had we used the Sunday school.
That's right.
When I first became the pastor, I remember this meeting in our old sanctuary in my old office over in the old building. A couple who no longer even live in the state of Georgia, they were teaching our youngest married, the newlywed couples class. And they were not being very effective, just being honest. This man came to me in the summer to tell me, hey, with the new church year coming up, I just want to let you know that my wife and I are not going to be teaching the young married couples class again. I said, okay, is there anything wrong? That's fine. I'm not trying to pressure you. Anything I can help you with? He said, no, we're very concerned about young couples in our community, but our Sunday school class is not reaching them. We're going to start, he said, a Bible study in our home. We're going to do it on Tuesday night. And we're going to try to reach all the young couples in our community, especially in our subdivision, in our neighborhood. And Pastor, our desire, we've got some that don't go to church anywhere. And we're going to find out if they got a need in their life. And we're going to take a casserole over there and love on them. If we find out there's a victory, we're going to have a party and celebrate with them. And they're going to start coming over on Tuesday night, just kind of hanging out. We'll have a little Bible study. Next thing you know, that old husband, wife was backslid. She's getting right with God. That husband, he's lost, and he gets saved. And next thing you know, they're coming on Tuesday night, and they're bringing those babies and those preschoolers. That's where our heart is. And I called him by name and said, do you realize you've just described a well-functioning Sunday school class? He said, that doesn't sound anything like our class. I said, you missed what I said. You described a functioning Sunday school class. And my point to him and my point to you is that if you would pour the same thing that you're going to try to pour into something else, pour it into your Sunday school class, you'll see you can reach the world from your Sunday school class. Membership is accomplished. Maturity is achieved. And verse 35 shows us how ministry is accepted. And they lay them, the proceeds, at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each one as any had need. One of the reasons that God has blessed our congregation is we try, listen carefully and I'm finished, we try to give and receive ministry on behalf of the church through the Sunday school class. There are hundreds of people who gather here for worship each and every week. And there's no way that you can be in a close, intimate relationship with all of them. But when ministry needs occur, that Sunday school class can be organized and designed to step in and perform that ministry. On Sunday mornings, on Sunday nights, we'll often announce particular prayer needs from the congregation. That this one's in the hospital, this one's having surgery, this one has had a death. And I think if most of us are honest, look right here and listen to me very carefully. If we're honest, sometimes, unless that person maybe is very active or visible, maybe they're a soloist or a singer, oftentimes when you hear those names, you might not even know who that is. That's not a bad thing in and of itself. But in a church the size of ours, there's no way that everybody is going to pour in and minister in any one situation. And if you think about it, if you need supper brought over three nights because you had gallbladder surgery, 1,000 people showing up with chicken casserole, that actually a little bit too much. But boy, if that Sunday school class is on point and is ready to pour ministry in, and if that Sunday school member is ready to receive it from the Sunday school as though coming from the church because it is, that's how ministry can be both accomplished and accepted. Emmanuel Family, God has called me to shepherd this flock. And I learned a long time ago that a shepherd doesn't drive the sheep, tries to lead them. And I want tonight to help lead you to the right Sunday school class and to challenge you to help reach this world from your Sunday school class. Father, would you write that truth on our heart, and may tonight be a night that gives us great dividends in the months and years to come as we pour our heart, our life, and our ministry through this church and through our Sunday school class. And I pray that would happen, that Jesus would be glorified with this body of believers. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Emmanuel Pulpit, where Pastor Mike Stone is committed to walking you verse by verse through the books of the Bible. You can contact us through our church website at ebchurch.net or visit pastormikestone.com. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of the Emmanuel Pulpit.